One of the funniest projects I ever got involved in was claiming Rockall for the United Kingdom. You have to remember that in the 1950s we still had something like an empire, a couple of bits of Africa and the Falkland Islands. They landed Commander Desmond Scott on Rockall from a helicopter, and he put a brass plaque on it, a bit smaller than this, claiming it for the Queen. And you see, if you look at it, you'll see the photograph of Rockall. It's not as big as it. It's about the size of this room in area, about the same, about 25 metres high. We blew the top off it, 23 metres. The point is that they claimed it for the Queen, but they didn't make it anything specific. It was part of the empire, if you like, the Commonwealth. Well, a few years later, when the Law of the Sea Conference started in New York, obviously colonies were not popular, and the Brits had just realised with the discovery of oil and gas in the North Sea that Rockall would get 200 miles round it full of oil and gas. So we had to make Rockall look as if it was part of the UK. They got all the papers out, and it wasn't. So they wanted to make it part of Argyll. And the Foreign Office then telephoned me and said, what can we put on the rock which will make it look British? It had to be realistic. And something that would, an act of administration, as the Duke phrased it. So I said, you mean like putting a letterbox there? And the I'm not inventing this. These guys were my friend. Okay, so they said, yes, that's the right spirit. I worked out a few pages of A4 in sort of civil service language and suggested, you know, a lighthouse, tactical radar beacon, meteorological station, geophysical seismic station, wave recorders, oceanographic, and so on. Anyway, it all went quiet for a year or two, and then the Foreign Office telephoned me again and said, remember that thing where you suggested putting things on Rockall? We're going to put a light on it. And we would like you to take out a team of divers and sort of do something scientific and make it all look busy as if you've been there, you know, all the time. We got together the BGS and the... I hope there are no journalists here. I got the British Geological Survey and the National Institute of Oceanography. We put together a very nice team of divers. And they provided us, we went up there a couple of years, but the first time we had a 7,000 ton helicopter support ship called RFA Engadine. The second year was a 36,000 ton Royal Fleet Auxiliary tanker called Holmer. Now you can imagine the scene where I'm sitting down with the captain and the first engineer asking them if they could keep a 36,000 ton tanker on station about a mile away from a reef that we want to dive on that hasn't been charted properly, 400 miles out in the North Atlantic. They were very good people, they did it. The wind dropped occasionally, and we got the divers of some rocks around. We've got one called Hasslewood Rock, one called Helen's Reef, because the good ship Helen was wrecked on it. And these things don't break the surface, but you can see the white waves boiling over the rocks. The helicopters would go over and drop a smoke flare so that the dive boat could get out onto the rock. The trouble was the sharks ate smoke flares. A lot of things, there were problems on the trip. They took the Decca engineer by helicopter on one of the car days. They dropped him on top of the rock, but he saw the waves going by just below his feet, 25 metres above sea level. He knelt down and prayed and wouldn't unhook the helicopter cable, so they had to wind him back in again. The geophysical team bolted a very expensive gravimeter onto the top of the rock on a calm day. There was then a bit of a blow. They went back 3 or 4 days later and it had gone 25 metres above sea level. The diving was great and we got the geological samples. I'm glad to say that Rockall is still British, so Kuwait delivers.